is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pull List. My name is Lex, and I am here by myself. This week's going to be a tad bit different. We won't be doing any trending topics or anything like that. At the end of 2022, we took our winter break like we do every year, but this time we wanted to record some rainy day episodes to have in the reserves in case something happens one random week. But one of those things happened in January. I got all four of my wisdom teeth taken out, and I underestimated how long it was going to take to heal. So in this episode, you will be getting one of our rainy day recordings. I'm pretty sure it's the Fantastic Four life story, which I was really excited to read, especially after our popular Spider-Man life story review. We wanted to say thank you for all the support you have given us already in the new year, and next week we will return to our regularly scheduled episodes. I'm going to take a second to cue this thing up, and we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, it's Michael E. Cullen II.
And I'm Sesame Incarta from the All Too Real 2 podcast. We're passionate about movies, TV, and pretty much all things pop culture.
Dive into the chaos of failed sitcoms, direct-to-video sequels, and the quirky realms of cinema and TV.
Join us every Thursday for your dose of All Too Real 2 entertainment.
We'll guide you through debates like whether Howard the Duck qualifies as a superhero.
Ponder if Larry the Cable Guy could be the new Rock or Schwarzenegger.
Discover if some shows and movies should have stayed in the cutting room.
Ever heard of a sitcom featuring that dictator with the funny mustache? Well, we watched it.
We're dedicated to unraveling the peculiarities of pop culture, sometimes with awesome guests.
So, if you're into the eccentric world of pop culture,
listen and subscribe to All Too Real 2.
Available wherever you find podcasts
and on Age of Radio.
Welcome back, guys, and thank you for giving us a second to catch our breath, go tingle, and do whatever we do in between those breaks. This is the section of the podcast where we review a trade. It's 2023, but we still call it a trade review. Deal with it.
I will never.
I'm going to get it tattooed. I've
used that joke before.
Like the no regrets tattoo. Yeah. Trade review. Let's make sure I spell it wrong.
Yeah, trade review.
Damn, I kind of want to do that. It's like this dumbest tattoo I could ever possibly
get. I really, for a long time, just sidebar, for a long time, I wanted to get my last name in Old English across my chest because I thought it would be hilarious. And then I was like, that's a lot of pain to go through for something so stupid.
For like a joke that you would only say. You could do it every time you talk to your friends.
Oh, yeah, I don't walk around shirtless ever. So,
so that really would be, you would have to work out more regularly than you do now.
Yeah.
Just for the joke.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Man, Simon, you're in really good shape. What's your secret? I got a dumb tattoo. It's all part of the bit, man. Grueling hours in the gym, all for one possible giggle. I love it. On this episode of the podcast, I'm really excited. I am. One of our most popular episodes was Simon and I dunking on a book called Spider-Man Life Story. To this day, people talk about it online, how much they love it. And anytime they do, I use that as an opportunity to be like, hey, that book sucks.
Yeah.
And they're like, how dare you? You were an idiot. Your opinion does not matter. And I say, well, if you want to hear my full opinion, and me and my best friend talk about it on an episode of our podcast. Check it out.
Let's see. Eat shit.
Yeah, they leave us a 1-star review. Didn't listen, but these guys are fucking idiots. Yeah, it's just anytime you can't have an opinion. And I've gotten really good, I think, myself about, like, I have very strong opinions about the characters that I like. And so when people don't like them, I automatically used to be like, well, you're just dumb. But now I've tried to be like, you know what? That's okay. That's okay. You don't have to like it. We're different people.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, when I told you I made that Batman tweet a few weeks ago, it was like, Batman Forever is wildly better than the Batman movie.
Yeah, people, man, that's crazy.
People thought I was brain dead. But I just, and you know, from my point of view, I just like that movie better.
If it's more enjoyable to you, yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, I'm not, like, talking about the film mechanics from 1995 to 2020. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about which one am I going to rewatch.
Right.
It's probably going to be Val Kilmer with his nipples.
His nipples.
That's a long way to say that. We're reading Fantastic Four Life Story.
Amazing.
I was so excited when this book was announced last year because I was like, oh, this is it. This is going to be our unicorn of 2023.
Yeah.
But the general reception wasn't as much for this book as it was for Spider-Man Life Story. So I think it's interesting. I'm interested to hear what you think about it. And I haven't read it. I did collect it because I liked some of the covers. I never read it though, which I tend to do. But I know people say, why do you buy books if you don't read them? I have a to read pile that's like, it's an embarrassing amount. It's like hoarder level unread pile of books because it gets too much. If I buy 30 books, I'm not going to read all 30. I'm alive.
Yeah. What do you think? I'm a fucking nerd?
Yeah. I'm not going to sit there and geek out. My wife will leave me. Again, long segue to say that we're reading Fantastic Four Life Story. And that's actually wife leaving me is it's on topic.
On brand. Yeah.
Look at that. Intentional. Fantastic Four Life Story issue number one was written by Mark Russell. The art was by Sean Isaacsy. Why?
Siska. Isaacsy.
Yeah, Simon said it. It's by Sean, our friend Sean. We know him on a first name basis. The cover Sean. Was by our friend Daniel Acuna.
Acuna Matata.
I was waiting. In the tradition of Spider-Man Life Story, one of our favorite books, and in celebration of the Fantastic Four's 60th anniversary comes this series, setting the lives of the Fabulous Foursome in real time across the years. Amid the backdrop of the Cold War and the space race, a terrible accident gives the Fantastic Four great powers, a terrible secret, and entangles them in the history of their planet. Initial thoughts, Simon, what'd you think when I pitched this book to you as one of the first books we're reading of the year?
So, yeah, when you brought it up, I was like, oh, yeah, here we go. Let's rip this motherfucker up. But that being said, this first issue is set in the exact time that I love the Fantastic Four.
I knew you were going to say that. When I was reading this, I was like, this is the pitch. This is Simon's movie pitch. This is what he said the movie should be like.
Yeah, like... It's just the first issue is really, it's, you know, there's I haven't read a lot of Fantastic Forces. There's a lot of intermingling with the John F. Kennedy, the president of the time. You know, this is in the 60s, the space race, like all these real world events. And so it was kind of cool to see them in real life in those moments.
Yeah. And I will say before this, like, I've read a lot of Fantastic Four. I love the Fantastic Four. And this feels like an original story. Like, we all know the origin. Even though you say you haven't read a lot, you know the origin. They went to space, hit with cosmic rays. You know, they change a lot in this, though. He just meets Ben Grimm rather than going to college with him.
Yeah, they get splashed with the cosmic cum. Yeah, it's interesting. And I like, you know, that Sue Storm in this is portrayed as like an activist. Like, she's all about, you know, like women equal pay.
Yeah.
I mean, and even in civil rights, you know, not just with women. And it's cool to see the other Avengers of the time and how they all age. It's not connected to the Spider-Man Life Story in that aspect, which I liked.
Thank God.
Yeah. I was worried that they somehow were going to link that together. Cause I remember Reed Richards being in Spider-Man Life Story as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty prominent character because he was Pete's mentor.
Yeah. So, I mean, it moves a little too fast. I know that they've got to get a lot of shit done. It's like a decade per book almost. And
it does move really fast.
So it moves a little bit too fast. But other than that, man, I dug it. And I hate that I did, but I liked it.
So did I. I was like, dude, this is the movie. Uh-huh. This is how you do it. But instead, and this is my movie pitch, I hate to tie it to the MCU because we're talking comic books, and I try to not talk about comic books or talk about the movies while we're talking strictly comic books. But this is how you do it, exactly like this, frame for frame, right? But instead, when they get hit with the cosmic rays,
you get to see the big guy. I'm not going to spoil who the big guy is. You get to see the big guy, right? But in that instance, they all get their powers, right? Instead of landing back on Earth and going through all of this stuff, they land in the present time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they're like, then they have to go to the hospital in the present time. They have to explain who they were. And he was a very popular scientist back in the day. You know, her dad, the Storm's dad is a military guy. This is something like they disappeared in the 60s. And then you have that looming, like, because over the span of something I'll talk about later, but over the span of like Galactus is coming, like they're fast forward. Now they're like, oh, well, now he's on the horizon. You know
what I mean? Yeah, like they come back and it's like, what year is it? Because this motherfucker's going to be here in 2 years or something. Yeah.
That's the movie, man. Let us write it, man. Let me and Simon be the new Russo brothers. We'll be the W brothers.
We'll be the Roosters. Yeah. So that part is really interesting. It does go through a lot of things. You know, that last Fantastic Four book that we read had this character that came back and he played Ben Grimm at one time or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, the impersonator. Like, he's in this too, or someone. I don't know if it's the same guy. I can't remember, but it, like, same difference. It was
same story, essentially.
Yeah.
He gives Ben Grimm a chance to be human, and he takes his powers. It's like a trick to kill Reed Richards. Same story.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's technically the same person, but it's the same story.
And he comes to terms with Reed, like, in that moment, and then saves him in that moment. Just like, it's written well, I will say.
Yeah.
But it's also
pacing.
Right, but it's also kind of written, the pacing is written like a 60s comic book. Like, you're just solving problems. There's not a lot of...
Yeah, and you got to look at it to where, like, these are years passing in between some of these panels.
Or pages. My main gripe is, yes, we do see that, but there are some where it just happens, like, right there. And those are the ones where, like I said, this guy comes in like, oh, better to kill you, you know, whatever. It's not me.
Yeah, even that, he meets... So within the hour, Ben is supposed to be back to help Reed. Within that hour, this guy goes and meets Ben at the bar. They change powers, and then he's back at the Baxter building. And he said, this is all happening in 3 pages. And he comes to the revelation that Reed is right, and he's sorry, he needs to forgive him. And he tries, and he saves his life. And it's like all happens within a span of 3 pages.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pacing is wild.
There's also some inconsistencies. Like, sometimes Ben is the same size as everybody, and then he's way bigger. And
I think that's just a Ben Grimm problem in general.
Yeah, and that's not really a complaint. I feel like this, you know, compared to Bagley's work on Spider-Man Life Story, no offense to him, because we do love Bagley. This is a, in my opinion, it's a good step. I thought everything looked great. There was very rarely a time where I was like, oh, that's maybe the last couple issues. But
in the back half of the series, I don't know if they were running out of time, but there were a few pages that I think another artist stepped in to finish off pages.
Mm-hmm.
But the main artist stays all the way through. I do feel like there was like one or two pages in a couple of issues that were like, oh man.
I did notice, and I was like, has this been a different artist the whole time?
How'd you do that?
Yeah. The covers are really cool too. I really love the old school like halftone dot patterns and the solid color.
I didn't notice that the pacing was going as fast. I mean, I did, but like some of the stuff that you were just talking about, I didn't realize it was in this issue. But yeah, it goes through all of that. Poor Ben Grimm, man.
Yeah, he's kind of like, it's weird. He seems depressed this whole book, but he's like the positive one.
He's like the heart of the team still. Maybe not at first. It seems like over time he gets better, because like in that first fight where they're fighting the Mole Man, he's like, get your hands off the dock. And then Reed's like, hey, thanks. And he's like, yeah, fuck off. Walks off. But like, he realizes that he's a part of this superhero team, but he doesn't really like care.
I really like how they portray that as these classic superheroes, like, I guess, golden age superheroes. Yeah. I don't know. I'm a fan.
Yeah, same. And just like you said earlier, I really dig how they tied it into all these real world events, man. And I know they tried to do it in Spider-Man Life Story, and I'll try not to reference that book too many times. but it just seemed like too wild.
Yeah,
like super like giant man in Vietnam stepping on people, and I don't know, it just seemed too wild.
That one was a little bit too much trying to be like Watchmen. This one's very much closer to home, dealing with a bigger problem. So,
yeah, that's issue number one. So far, I'm in. I thoroughly enjoy it more than Spider-Man Life Story so far.
Yeah. I was super surprised, man.
So was I. I really was. Tell us about issue number two, man.
Fantastic Four Life Story number two. The story of the Fantastic Four's lives in real time continues. Set in the 1970s, the heroes struggle to find their role in a rapidly changing world. Sue continues to fight for social causes while Reed becomes increasingly obsessed with preparing for the impending arrival for Galactus, spoiler alert, creating tension within the Four. So yeah, that's one thing we didn't really discuss, but it's right there. So when they get hit with the cosmic radiation, like Reed Richards basically gets a mind link with Galactus. He sees him in a vision, and it's one of those things. What movie is that where they're like linked with the main bad guy and they can't
Aliens? Was it in Aliens?
No,
not the first one, but one of them.
Maybe Aliens 4 or 3. The closest I could come to is like the mind link in the movie version of the sequel to The Shining. Shit, I forgot the name of the movie. Where
Doctor Sleep?
Yes. Where the little girl and Rose are like linked and they kind of get in each other's heads. So it's kind of like that. So Reed Richards becomes very obsessed with Galactus and like saving the world. And I think I do really like that he's one of the smartest people on the planet, but he's not really treated that way.
Yeah. And I, they reference it. They reference it like he's so popular. And we know that he's a genius. So we entertain him.
Yeah.
And whether we're making fun of him or we're cheering him on, like because he is who he is, we still let him do these things.
Yeah. And I still find it funny that, you know, like he goes to the government. I don't know in this one. I think in this one, he goes to the government to like try to figure out how to get funding for something. And they're like, well, it's very much in real life where they're like, yeah, but you got to make it beneficial to us.
that might be in the next one. In this one, he's like first meets Tony and Tony's like, yeah, I believe you. But he's like Tony Stark, like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Whatever. Sure. It's plausible.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like fully back him. He's still like making fun of him. And he's like, they make fun of Hank Pym and it, the radioactive ants. And then even Hank Pym's like, hey, man, it's an honor to meet you. Whatever you're saying is total nonsense. It's crazy. But still, you are who you are. So it's an honor to meet you. Let me tell you about these radioactive ants.
Yeah, I like that dichotomy. It's like what you're saying is crazy, but there's some ants, right? I like the classic villain reveal and like these weird Fantastic Four only traps.
Yeah.
This was a funny part, which I thought was kind of interesting that they put this in here, but you know, they already have their son. What's his name? Franklin. Mm-hmm. They already have Franklin, so they're out gallivanting around as the Fantastic Four, and they joke like the Invisible Woman is there all the time, but she's not.
Yeah.
She's like not even there.
I thought it was genius, honestly, man. One of the things about the Fantastic Four and Reed and Sue's relationship is that he is so obsessed with his work. And it kind of gets glossed over in regular comic book stuff because it's like, oh, he's Mr. Fantastic. He's a superhero. But this book dives a little deeper into like what that would really look like in a real world setting. And it's kind of sad.
Yeah, extremely. It is kind of interesting. This almost plays out like it could be, and I know you don't want to do that, but it plays out like a movie would. Like the more realistic. In fact,
I think this is the movie, man.
Yeah, so something that I really thought about that I was like, man, that would, if this wanted to be like that Spider-Man story where he gives Mary Jane cancer because of his semen, like this is the story where, and well, I'm just saying like those super downer stories where you're like, fuck, nobody wins. where Ben Grimm just gets turned to stone, but he can't move. Like, I was like, ah, this is the story where he's just a lump. You know, it's like the...
It seems like it's going to happen, because in the first issue, they all start transforming, and he's like, if we get into... You know, before they launch, like, if we get into Harry's situation, Ben just has to hit the emergency button and the ship autopilots back to Earth. But then Ben is just this giant rock.
Yeah. That's why I was like, oh, shit, is this it? Because, I mean, nobody likes that. But at the same time, it is kind of...
It's different.
Like Green Goblin says, man, what do we want to see a hero do? We want to see him fall, fail. You know, like, I find that interesting. So I was a little disappointed.
Not when it's overdone.
Right.
Like Superman, they've been over to do it in the past years with like evil Superman. But in a non, like when it comes out of nowhere, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think that could have been interesting. And maybe if it was just an issue where he was like in a cocoon and then he comes out later, but whatever.
Yeah.
There are some in this issue, you know, we've got some bigger parts at play with the wider universe, which I think are neat, with Namor, Captain America.
Obviously, we get Dr. Doom. He shows up. Yeah. Like I said, we get Tony early on.
Dr. Doom is like obviously fucking evil, though.
he looks like a bad guy.
But he also has like a sweet, like outward curl bob, definitely like a high bob. There's some women out here that would love that hair.
It's cute. It's just like the way that the illustrations to me are, you know, it's so disappointing that later on, and I know it's not easy to knock out these books when you've not got the time frame that they have them, but it's so disappointing that even a few pages were different, because it's so good to be able to demonstrate, like, Reed comes home. First of all, like you mentioned earlier, it's genius. They have the Fantastic Four trap. And he's like, hey, Matt Thinker, I know you had that steam trap set up so you could see the silhouette of Sue, but where is she? And then he's like, shut down all the escapes. And then they're like, well, now we can get free. She's not even here. But like to display him coming home, saving the day, and he's like, yeah, you know, you should have seen the lair. It was crazy. And just like treating her as a housewife. Yeah. And like, even though she's wildly powerful, she's not just turning invisible, you know?
And smart.
Yeah. And he just gives her a kiss and he's like, all right, I'm going to go to work now. Didn't ask her about her day. Didn't ask anything. Just like a typical man of that time. And you see it on her face, the way it's illustrated, that it's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We also get my boy. Wakanda Forever. He shows up and that was a cool moment, man. Like you don't ever see, you know, the big problem with everyone is like, oh, Wakanda could have did so much more for just Africa in general or the whole world, right? This sort of nips that in the bud because Claw's working for the World Bank and he's like, Ghana, you guys owe us an interest more money than you could ever repay. So what are we going to do here? Trying to get them to give up their diamond mines or whatever. T'Challa rolls up with a cube of vibranium and he's like, listen, don't come back. The debt is paid. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. He's like, no, all of Africa's debt is paid. Like the entire thing. And then even Claw's like, yeah, that's cool. I can do that.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that it works for the World Bank. I didn't see that. Yeah. That's kind of weird that he's just out working for the World Bank, talking to his like president about his debts.
He's like the muscle for the World Bank.
Yeah.
And a little anecdote that I thought was funny is how much vibranium would cost, because the president of Ghana is like, hey, man, that was not worth it. Like the whole debt of Africa was not worth that one cube of vibranium. And T'Challa says, ah, it's not a big deal. The Americans, they'll probably waste it on a shield.
Yeah.
Which is like a callback. Yeah. Callback to Captain America. And it's cool, man. This is a cool issue.
Yeah. Yes, I enjoyed this issue. Like I said, there's some really obvious things that are going to happen, but it's not in a bad way. You know, they get these Legion of Superheroes that are going to talk to the UN, which I thought was cool. And then we get this kind of betrayal. So they find out, what's his name? Mind? What's the classic bad?
Mad Thinker in the beginning of this?
Yeah. So they get rid of him and he saves like this android head, which comes into play later on.
Yeah.
So I really do enjoy the writing in this, and I think it is, I'm liking it so far, but there are some kind of goofy parts that stick out a little bit.
I agree.
Dr. Doom kind of in the whole thing sticks out a little bit. His relationship with the whole thing sticks out to me.
Yeah. I mean, and it also plays to like Reed being so obsessed that he's just like, finally someone is listening to me and agrees with me. Yeah. So he's like kind of naive, even though he's a genius. He's like, doesn't have regular social cues. He's just like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, another genius is helping me. We're doing all this stuff. Even though he's like building a battle gauntlet. Like, how is that going to fight a giant space monster?
Yeah. He's saying funny things like, we got to work together so we can punch it as an entire planet, which is what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We also get to see like Sue is out doing her activism thing. But again, like a man of the time, Reed's like, yo, you got to come get this kid, man.
Yeah, I can't do anything.
Yeah, you got to come get this. You got to leave what you're doing right now. And she's like, this is important. And he's like, is it more important than Galactus? It reminds me of that movie with Harry Styles and Yelena Belova.
Florence Pugh.
Yeah, where he's like, the work I do is important, even though you don't know what they're really doing.
Yeah, he's not actually
only in that aspect. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And then we get that betrayal that I was talking about. I do like this scene with Sue and Captain America's shield. I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
I think it's funny that that's all it took. You know, he yeah. comes in ripping up the UN and
turning everybody into stone. Like what?
Yeah, she just baps him in the back with the shield, and he's out.
I don't think it would be a disservice if. In this issue, we didn't talk about Reed's having visions of Galactus, mm-hmm. even when he's sleeping. Like when he's with his wife, he's having visions of like Galactus destroying other planets. I feel like we would do a disservice if we didn't talk about Namor in this issue because it plays into future issues and Johnny Storm. What do you think about the characterization of Johnny Storm in this book so far?
Well, it's kind of interesting. He is very supportive of Sue and mm-hmm. this whole mission, you know, as part of this team in this issue.
Yeah. I've never really cared about Johnny Storm.
Yeah. There's definitely some like sibling love there that I don't feel like you see a lot. I don't know.
Yeah. There was one storyline in the Annihilation series where he like sacrifices himself to fight off the Annihilation Wave, which was like a tearjerker moment, but that's the only Johnny Storm in the history of comic books that I care about. And this one, I kind of feel for him. The supportive brother, even though he's still a douche, he's wearing like leather jackets and like leather. Later on, he has a chain that says hot stuff on it. Like, he's still very much Johnny Storm. But yeah. Being a supportive brother and showing their relationship is really important, I feel like.
Well, and he's very positive too. He's just kind of a positive character. But you know, with his speech at the UN, I think it was in this one.
That's in the next one because it's later on the anniversary.
Right. Okay, that's confusing. But anyway, yeah, he's a fairly positive guy so far.
Yeah, and then the big wallop time jump at the last two pages. Reed does the thing to distract Dr. Doom, like, hey, where is Sue Storm? And then she comes in with the shield. Again, like you said, great moment. But time jump, she leaves him because he fucking sucks.
Yeah, to date the fish scales.
Yeah, to get with Namor, which never really happens in the main comic books. It always teases it. Like, they have, like, a flirtatious thing because Reed kind of ignores her, so she likes the... She doesn't, you know, she maybe appreciates the attention. But in this, she full-on leaves his ass.
Yeah, you know that's not Namor's underwear. That's just what his undercarriage looks like. With scales.
God, that'd be gross. And it's funny because it's not funny, but it's sad to see like Franklin dealing with a divorce. Like, they don't pull back the punches on like what would really happen. Like, divorces are bad.
It's hard. I identify with that because I remember like, you know, your parents get in arguments and one of them, they're all trying to turn you against each other. like, they want you to like them more. But it's kind of funny. Earlier, he doesn't see Reed enough and he calls him Dr. Richards.
And she goes,
yeah, his name is Daddy. And then later she says Dr. Richards and he corrects her. his name is Danny. And it's just kind of funny that he's picking a favorite there. But
and then she's doing the Sue gets her groove back, and she doesn't become a crappy mom. Whatever. She's got to do what she's got to do. But
she's trying to get it in.
She's getting more attention now, which she has not gotten in her entire marriage. So the '60s, the '70s, we're in the '70s now. The '70s were rough.
Yeah, it's pretty rough because, you know, we get this jump. It's like Ben Grimm and Reed living together, and they're like living this like shitty bachelor life with two people that can't cook and drink too much. And
yeah, also in this people. in issue two in the '70s, Ben becomes best friends with Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Like he finally comes to terms with like the past and like letting it go because these are his people essentially.
Right.
And he's, you know, sad, but he's also there for his best friend.
We haven't talked about it a whole lot, but these covers are really great.
They're my favorite, man. And that's, I bought them. I bought them originally because I was like, I saw Life Store and I was like, yeah, we're going to read that. But I love the cover so much that I bought every single one of them.
I'm a big fan of that kind of where they use the color, just the background color as whatever. So like in this case, it's his costume. And then they have illustrations that kind of fill in the negative space. I'm a big fan of that.
Me too. Issue number three, Fantastic Four Life Story number three, the real-time story of the Fantastic Four continues. In a story set in the 1980s, Reed hatches a venture to defend Earth from Galactus. But will his plans be derailed by the Cold War? Sue and Johnny are invited to speak at the United Nations about saving the world, and a maverick computer genius offers hope to humanity with his new computer company. But is hope all he's offering?
So yeah, issue number three kind of continues on with the themes we left off with, like the bachelor life. What I do find interesting is that almost every issue has had a different narrator. So I think the first one was Reed. And the second one might have been
Sue. Yeah.
And so now we've got Johnny as kind of the main character.
I like that a lot. I didn't notice it until this issue, but yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah. We've got Franklin getting his powers and he's been jailed because of it. But nobody really knows why. He's been put in jail because he ran away from school. Mm-hmm. And so he's kind of having trouble with his whole deal.
I thought they were going to say that he was at Xavier's school because they were like, he sent me away to a school that dealt with this kind of thing. But they don't really talk about any X-Men in this.
Right.
Which is fine.
You know what? Yeah. And then we get a scene, like I said, of the bachelor lifestyle. It's funny that Ben Grimm was like making pork and beans because what could he possibly, he's got to be eating like gallons of pork and beans to.
It's got
to
be a lot. Yeah.
Fill up his body.
He's got to eat a lot, man.
Yeah. We get this interjection with this random scientist. I don't know the history behind that, but he owns this computer company, which I think is a really interesting, as we develop the story more, a really interesting way of being a villain. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah, especially with the times. And it's like technology is advancing and he is giving a lot of good points, like legitimate points. It's like these things are a problem because it's a guy with a trigger that's getting false data because the computers suck. It's time to advance technology. And it's, again, I didn't even realize he was a villain. That's how good it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, we also find out that they jailed Doom at the United Nations, which is... Yeah. Weird. Okay.
Yeah, he's buff.
Yeah, he's super buff. This is where we get a little backstory of like Johnny Storm sucking up a bonfire, which is kind of funny.
It was cool. I would do that.
But he's just living the kind of party life. But he talks about, you know, they're at the UN to follow up a year after, like we had talked about earlier. And he's like, yeah, man, the world's ending, so just fucking enjoy it while you can.
Yeah. Everybody's kind of skeptical still about Galactus. Like you mentioned earlier, he goes to the president and they're like, yeah, we love it. But can we point the, and it's like a dot, it's a image of Earth with missiles all around it pointing to space. And they're like, yeah, we love it. But the missiles are pointed the wrong way. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, he said something that I thought was great because he was like, I got it right here. He's like, only an idiot points a gun at his own head.
And I was like,
oh my God, that's so perfect. And these politicians are like, yeah, we get that, but.
But the Soviets.
Also, yeah, but we would also like the missiles to be pointed at her.
Yeah, it's really silly. And what's funny about that is, you know, we get this scientist again. They basically, he pitches a similar idea.
Yeah.
And they fund it. And he's like, well, I need somebody really smart to help me with this. And that's how he gets Doom out. And they're like, okay, this guy with the twirly mustache is also a villain.
We should have known with a twirly mustache. One thing before we go any further, one thing that I was really kind of, it was in the back of my mind the whole time. I was like, how are they staying this young looking at this? And I knew that the last issue was going to be in the 2010s, right?
Yeah.
I was like, how are they going to stay? That's a long time for them to already be adults at the beginning of this, at which we get an answer a little bit. But at this point, I'm like, what?
Especially, and it makes a little bit of sense with the way they're, I mean, with the way that they're like changed.
Shaded, I guess.
Especially, I think one that I really notice is Sue, because she seems to not age at all as someone that's supposed to be older than these other people. Ben, you're obviously
until the very end.
You're not going to see any age, but yeah, you're right. Johnny Storm, like, I think he says he's like going to turn 40 or 45.
He said he's about to turn 40, yeah.
And he does. I don't know. I don't feel like I look that old, and I'm
no. Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. It would make me feel a little bit better about myself. Going, I'm on the cusp of 40. You know, with the next couple of years, but it sounds crazy to say. But I love that interaction between him and Spider-Man, because they're like best friends. You know, in the main continuity, and he's just like, "How do you deal with it?" And Spider-Man's just like, "I don't know. I just kind of do it, man." It
well, yeah, to the best of us. He kind of talks like we talk. It's like, well, you know, he says adult contemporary music is starting to make sense to me. And it's kind of how recently I said, like, I knew I was getting old because I was at a party and I was like, this music is way too loud. Like, one of those things that starts happening the older you get.
Johnny's narration the entire time, though, is about like sort of that age thought process. He's like, he doesn't want to grow up, but he also realizes he needs to grow up. He also has things that are very important to him. And so, like, where do you tote that line of, like, nothing matters in life?
Mm-hmm.
So why not enjoy it? You know, because he does believe what Reed says about Galactus. He knows that Galactus is coming. I love that it's just this continuing thing. They never really put a date on it until the later issues, but it's just, like, decades are passing, and it's like, Galactus is coming. So when Reed is going on to talk shows and stuff, they're like, hey man, just chill with the Galactus talk. It's a bummer.
Yeah, they did note it. They did say something in the last issue that like something was spotted out in the solar system.
Yeah, and it was headed towards Earth.
Did you notice that the Fantasticar has been changing with the decades?
Yeah, I did. Okay. And I also, Tony looks way older in this. That's one character that looks significantly older. If you look at the first image they show him, he looks, his skin sagging a little bit more. He's a little more chubby. Mm-hmm. I relate to that.
So, yeah.
I am a huge fan. One of my favorite things about the Fantastic Four is the Fantasticar, specifically this one.
Mm-hmm.
To where it looks like a bathtub. That's my favorite.
Yeah, where it doesn't look like it should fly at all.
Yeah, that's my absolute favorite.
Yeah. So we get this huge plot point. I just thought that was kind of neat. And it continues to evolve. We get this huge plot point, like I said earlier, where this guy has wormed his technology into both sides. So, well, I guess the American side, to where they're getting false reports through, what is it? Their radar, but it's called something. Anyway, NORAD, they're getting all these false reports of launches from Russia. And so they're like, well, fuck, ready the missiles.
We got it. Yeah, we got to do it.
And then when they do that, Russia's seeing their aggression. So they're like, well, fuck, we're going to ready the real missiles. So,
yeah, talk about a high stakes situation, because Russia's on the phone with them and they're like, I don't give a shit what your computer's saying. We're not doing anything.
Yeah.
And it's like not just regular missiles. These are nuclear warheads, right?
Right.
And so they're like, hey, man, we don't want to do this, but you guys are obviously doing this. So we have no choice. And so it just like, it kind of starts like they don't trust each other, obviously. And it's the perfect villain scheme.
Yeah. So it escalates extremely. Yeah. Extremely quickly. So they launch and they're. There's this crazy scene with Namor where he's like, hey, man.
Fuck Namor, dog. He's terrible.
Talking to Sue, and he basically pulls the, like, you know, hey, kid's already dead. We could just start again.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, was he wrong? No. But also, like, I feel like she's been so murdered with, like, being treated so well and loved on and all these things. And Namor is in love with her for sure.
You mean Enamored.
Yeah, that's a good one. But she just blinks out of existence. I love that she just goes invisible and leaves. Like, she doesn't storm out. She just, because he's like, are you here?
Yeah. Hello? I kind of got a little bit of goosebumps when we have all the superheroes kind of combined. And it's not really that many. Oh, I didn't even notice Captain America is Captain America yet. That's funny.
Yeah, that's freaking sweet, man. That's something that we never really see. It looks badass. It's silly, but it looks cool.
Yeah, this moment we get, like, Silver Centurion, Iron Man. We get this Thor I've never seen before.
That was the Thor of the times, the 80s Thor.
Yeah, we've got the symbiote Spider-Man. Like, we've got all these suits that was what they looked like in the 80s.
Yeah. And I'm always going to love seeing that black suit Spider-Man. It's so simple, but it's perfect. It's not a better suit.
Right. And we get this really amazing montage where they're going out, they're blowing up all these things, but they miss one. And, you know, a callback to the earlier part where Johnny Storm sucks up this bonfire and he's like, I could contain a bigger flame. You know, it's not really a bigger deal.
The party trick.
Yeah, he goes, and this was emotional, man.
It was sad, dude. It was sad. Sidebar, we talked about how you mentioned the Fantastic Four change is evolving. So are their suits. So we get, like, the regular sweatsuits in the first couple of issues, but now we're getting the more kind of suits that we grew up with in the early 90s Fantastic Four suits. But yeah, it's sad, man. He absorbs that nuclear bomb. And it changes the way he looks. Like, he's, like, crystallized almost. Mm-hmm. Loses his sight, and he's dying.
Yeah, straight immediately.
Up.
Yeah,
straight, like, up.
It didn't last very long.
That was freaking sad, too. And I was like, damn, that's a perfect choice. If you're going to kill off one of them, perfect choice. You have him as a loving brother. You have him narrating this issue, dealing with, like, and his narration's perfect all the way to the end. He's like, telling the story of, like, how to be cool, leave the party before no one wants you to be at the party while they're washing the dishes. Like, leave early, maintain your mystery. And then as he's dying, he's like, I hope that's what I did. And I'm just like, damn, that's good, man. Well, that's really good writing. Way to, like, bring it all into that. I was like, damn, it's an emotional moment.
Yeah, this was probably, so far, this has been my favorite issue. Because, again, to see kind of the real life, what they're going through, if this were a real life, I know it's ridiculous to think, but to see the consequences, like, he sacrifices himself so he can stop a nuclear bomb before it hits. What?
And about the life story. But the life story genre in general, I like that because it spans so many decades so fast that's he's dead. We don't have time to have the resurrection of Johnny Storm story because it's going by so fast. So they just have to deal with the consequences. And also, obviously, Doom assumed that this was going to happen because he's so smart. I love that the news is like, oh, it was this guy, the scientist or whatever. He planned the whole thing. He's the most wanted fugitive and most hated person in the world. Yeah. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. He's talking about the castle they're in. It's like, well, I happen to notice that all the doors locked from the outside.
Yeah, Doom's like, I think, so I assume you'll be going back to your whatever place that you love so much. And he's like, I think I'll stay here. He's like, perfect. He's like, but I thought it was weird that all the doors locked from the outside. And Doom's like, you'll get used to it. Perfect Doom moment.
That being said, I was confused because I thought that guy had built that facility. So
he had taken Doom back to Latveria, and the stipulation was they build this place in the mountains. And so Doom spent his money to build it for him.
I see.
Yeah. So it ends with the funeral of Johnny Storm. Sad. Mm. Sad.
It's powerful, sad
but good. Yeah, sad but good, man. And that takes us to issue number two, man. Tell us about it. Issue number four. Takes us back to issue number two, man. Rewind.
Rip. Fantastic Four, Life Story number four. Against the backdrop of the freewheeling 1990s, Ben Grimm reflects on love and loss as the Fantastic Four prepare to do battle against Galactus.
I love this issue. You and I both are fans of The Thing, mm-hmm. and this was a very Thing issue.
Yeah. Narrated by Thing. So one thing that's really cool about this is there's been this consensus that, you know, we get a lot of funding. Galactus is kind of real. We're getting unity among the planet after the nuclear war scare.
Mm-hmm.
So like Tony Stark is building free energy. Wakanda has developed the cure for AIDS. They've got the satellite system up to, you know, the Star Wars system out into space, not pointing at the Soviet Union because the Soviet Union broke up. Yeah, just a whole bunch of stuff like that, man.
You remember Heroes Reborn? Heroes Reborn in the 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the Beetle Iron Man suit, a Prometheus armor, and it was like this pocket universe that was done by Rob Liefeld and Jim Lee and all those extreme 90s guys. These suits are the Heroes Reborn Fantastic Four suits, which I think they look so good in this. In this aspect, I think they look freaking perfect.
Oh, is this the one where Sue Storm had the cutout of the four on her boobs?
No. That was still in the 80s.
Oh.
Late 80s. Which I'm glad they didn't add that.
Yeah, that was really goofy.
I just keep forgetting that it's decades because now Franklin's older.
Yeah. It is still funny. You know, I know that later we get an explanation for Reed, but that Sue really doesn't look like she's aging at all.
No. They try to do something with her hair, but they're not selling it, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to not take away from Reed looking the same to make that reveal a little bit more impactful, I think that's why they tried to do it. But
it would have been more interesting if she kept getting older and he didn't get older, though. I think so. This is when, you know, Ben Grimm gets introduced to his blind lady, so that was cool.
Alicia, yeah,
it's very Thing heavy talking about like his deal in the Korean War. I think was it Korea? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really great backstory for him.
Yeah, because he talks about like inner turmoil, which he really didn't need anymore because going through that whole thing and like he was engaged before he went to space. We didn't talk about that. And then when he came back, he never went to see his fiance again. And we get a moment in this where she wants to talk to him because she's been seeing him on the news and things like that over the years. And they have this great moment. But it's still kind of depressing for him because he's like, damn, maybe I could have, you know. Little known fact about the Thing is that his entire body is encased in rock except where his penis is. It's just a human penis and the rest of his body is the same.
I think we probably made that. We've made that joke before, but I'm going to continue making similar jokes. Like, can you imagine if you sat on your balls as the Thing? Like normal human balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because the Thing is, in this, he's semi-positive. He gets down in the dumps, of course, but in some of this, he's like super excited about Franklin. He's super excited about all kinds of stuff. So Franklin is getting married. Yeah.
Yeah.
To T'Challa's sister.
Yeah. I thought it was weird that it was his sister. I thought it would be like his niece or something, but it's his sister.
Yeah. Well, like, don't crack. Anyway, so. Yeah, don't. I always try to say those things real fast. And
sidebar, man, I want that Thing Fantastic Four Letterman jacket.
Yeah,
like at some point they get funding to like get Fantastic Four merch. Yeah. I want that Thing jacket.
We get the reveal of. I think it's weird that they wear their costume all the time, but I guess Reed Richard would wear his costume all the time. Anyway,
he has to.
We get the reveal of what Reed actually looks like. He is asleep and he looks like an old man. And then he just kind of like clay faces himself.
How old would he be? I guess we never really know how old he is in the 60s.
Well, and they probably shouldn't have already given him the gray temples because that makes him look way old. You know, if he's in the 60s, he's like early 30s. You can gray in your early 30s.
Yeah, I got some gray going on.
So in 1996, that's 30 years later. So he's in his 60s.
Yeah. He looks like an old ass man.
Yeah, he looks old. But like I said, he just kind of like morphs his face around. And that makes perfect sense. That's great.
So does that mean he can live forever or eventually he dies? Because he still continues to age normally, it looks like.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's, again, the problem is that Sue also
does not. She looks exactly the same.
She looks still young. So I don't know.
Yeah. She doesn't have like reflective powers to where she could bend the light around her. I mean, they could have spun.
I kind of wondered about that. I did wonder about that. In the middle of this wedding, Reed is just like, oh shit, he's here. Like, we got to go. Galactus is here. They go out, and it's very much like, and I'm sure this is in the comics, but it's very much like the Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer, where he's just like, goes on a world tour. He's like busting through everybody's shit really fast. Well,
Before that, before he goes on the world tour, he destroys the defense system. And Ben Grimm, in total like 90s space outfit. Like, that looks like something from the 90s with like the extra antenna on the side.
Yeah.
Fights him, which I thought that was great.
And he goes out and kicks him in the face.
Even Silver Surfer's like, damn, okay. I didn't know you could do that. That's fine. But now you're stuck in space and I'm going to surf off.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ben Grimm almost gets consumed by sun, which I was like, damn, that would suck, but okay.
Yeah. And Simon and I also both love Silver Surfer. So it was cool to see him in this. So obviously he had to be in it. I think he's on the cover in like a silhouette.
Yeah. Silver Surfer is great. Also, so ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Like, his surfboard looks like a surfboard. It would be more interesting if it just looked like something else.
Yeah,
kind of functioned like a surfboard, but it didn't just look like
it. Looks like it didn't
have the lines of a surfboard.
Yeah, and sometimes when they would illustrate him in the 90s, he had like the fin at the bottom.
Yeah,
where it's like straight up surfboard. Yeah, for a guy that doesn't live on Earth, not from Earth, that maybe they have surfboards on Zenloft.
Like, yeah, bruh. Catching some major wives, bruh.
He is cool though. He does go around the Earth and he's just like, you guys are fucked.
Yeah, but you know, with his arrival, he says like, hey, you've got 10 years.
Yeah,
he gives the time limit. He's like, there's not a damn thing you can do to stop it.
Make peace. This is the first time we get the timeline.
Yeah, get some Kirby crackle in there.
I thought it was ridiculous that it was just like, Galactus is coming. Of course everyone's going to think he's crazy. Decades are passing by and he just seems like a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, but it's, you know, I don't know. With the way this is written, it really is interesting because it's kind of like people do start to make peace. You know, they start to accept the reality of what's to come.
Yeah, the world starts working together. Countries, like you said earlier, everybody starts teaming up.
Well, and I mean, it's like that's already happening, but this, and it goes into it deeper than the next issue. So I don't want to ruin that part of it. But before we get there, but even this, like, they're like, it's New Year's. And they're talking about how the Fantastic Four have done so much for the Earth or whatever.
Yeah, they did the best they could.
You know, Ben Grimm goes and.
They almost had to leave characters like the X-Men out of this.
Yeah.
Because then you're asking questions like, where's Charles Xavier? Like, where are these other like hyper psychic characters that could help out?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
One thing I did find that was kind of sweet is like Ben Grimm's like, man, I've wasted enough time, like it's the end of the world in 10 years. So he goes and proposes to Alicia, which is cool.
Yeah, the whole time he has this inner turmoil about like, when they started dating, he loved it, and he's like, it's great, but then I stopped calling her, because who am I? I don't deserve this. I'm a monster. Even though she still is like, hey, that's not, I'm in love with you. And then, you know, like you said, at the end, it's a sweet moment where he's like, fuck it. Enough, you know, I spent enough time kicking myself.
But fuck it.
But fuck it, man. All right, man, issue number 5. Sorry, I'm trying to pull it up. Lots of great moments in issue number 5. Fantastic Four Life Story, issue number 5. The lives and history of the Fantastic Four reach a tumultuous decade of the 2000s. I was like so focused on Sanctum Ultimus, right? The lives and history of the Fantastic Four reached the tumultuous decade of the 2000s. The moment of truth comes to Earth as Galactus arrives. The Fantastic Four are willing to stop him at any price, but what if this price includes the destruction of other inhabited worlds? One, this was a good issue. A lot of cool things happened.
Yeah.
The time frame, like, these guys are old. It's like, that's my thing. It's, I just keep thinking about like how old they are.
Well, they're so old that Franklin Richards looks like Johnny Storm now.
Yeah, he looks exactly like Johnny Storm. He's in his 30s. I think he even says that he's going to be 35. He's
in his 30s.
I love the image of Silver Surfer propped up in their living space. He looks cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
He just looks cool. I mean, I think that really happened. Whenever Silver Surfer first comes, he does the tour of Earth, and then he's like, oh, people here kind of remind me of Zen Law, so I'm going to help them. But in this, he's not. He's like, listen. And he tells him his story. Like, this is what I had to do. Plot twist, I'm dying. I thought that was an interesting change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he basically says, Reed, you got the same connection that I had with him. Galactus isn't coming to Earth to destroy it. He's coming to give you the offer. Well, I thought it was weird that Reed was like, nah, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. I think it's one thing I think is weird is how old Reed looks even when he's trying to look young right now.
Yeah. Maybe he's trying to keep up a little bit of the appearance. So maybe he's like trying to make himself look a little older. The suits changed. They look like the ultimate suits. Ultimate Fantastic Four.
Sue still doesn't look older, though.
No. She never does. Not until the very end.
Right. Strange.
What else stuck out to you this issue?
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting. So Franklin really does take a backseat for a lot of this. And now he's talking
to T'Challa. He's got to fill the Johnny world.
Yeah. Void. Well, and he's already got kids, and he's talking to T'Challa, and he's like, hey, I know you've got this thing. I just happen to make you this thing to help you fix that thing.
Yeah.
He like gives him this tiara to help with his.
Yeah. Very Sailor Moon.
Yeah. His psychic powers.
Yeah. There's something that happens in this issue that was interesting, but doesn't have a payoff. Spoiler alert. Doom proposes this like crazy scenario with like he calls Silver Surfer and he's like, listen, Reed doesn't want to be the Herald. I know that I don't have the connection to him, but tell your boss that I will create this situation where
breeding compound.
Yeah. So you get 500,000 people a year or something like that. And that you don't ever have to go searching anymore. I just thought it was crazy because in the regular Silver Surfer lore, he saves Zenlaw, his home planet. But then what he does is he takes Galactus to uninhabited planets.
Yes.
But in this, he's like, I can't do that.
Yeah, it's the consciousness of the people.
He feeds on like the power cosmic, and there's nothing more cosmic than like people about to get eaten. Which is like, damn. I thought that was another good twist. He's like, yeah, I would, because they even bring it up, like, why don't you just take him to a bunch of empty planets? And he's like, yeah, I would love to do that, but I can't.
Yeah.
So here I am.
We see I forgot his name, the Mad Thinker or whatever. Thinker. He's making a bunch of Doom bots, which I thought was interesting. But
we get a nod to Justin Hammer.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. Pretty good. Reed is still trying to figure out, so he keeps going in this like weird chamber that connects him to Galactus, and he's been trying to figure out, you know, how to beat him. And another thing that's revealed is that, you know, Silver Surfer says, like, he's looking for that psychic energy. He's not coming here.
Yeah.
He's not coming here to devour the planet. He's coming to get you as a herald, because the last time he's had that psychic connection was with me.
And he won't have me anymore.
But what I find interesting is that Reed, from the beginning, it's like, oh, shit, it's my fault because I connected. You know, he gets in this chamber. The second time he sees Galactus, he's in the same chamber, and Galactus then sees him, and so Galactus is coming to Earth because he sees him now. And Silver Surfer says the same thing. He's like, yeah, I was always searching for answers, this and that, meditating. Then I connected with Galactus and he came to my planet because I connected with him. So we know that Galactus being there is Reed's fault. So Reed has a lot of guilt throughout this entire thing.
Reed should have just been like, yeah, I'll be your herald and I'll bounce.
Yeah.
And Reed's so smart. And my thing is like, Reed's so smart. He could find planets that have like the lowest life, you know, level, like bacteria, and have like, he could break it down to where it's like, all right, well, I'm going to take the, you know, it's a sad sacrifice, but the lower levels of life in the galaxy, we'll just do all those first by the Earth and other planets a couple thousands of years.
Well, the Earth might be one of those, man.
Yeah. Galactus is like, I just, you don't care.
I do really appreciate how everyone is taking like the end of the world. Like they're like, well, they don't take credit anymore. The cutoff for that was like last month. So
yeah, we get like a slice of life vibe because Reed is like, fuck it, man. Like I spent my entire life trying to fight this and we lost. I'm going to enjoy my family.
And I appreciate that. I kind of appreciate the unity of everyone being like, well, this is it, you know?
Yeah, we don't see a lot of looting or what you would assume that would happen, people being really terrible to other people. It's basically just like, hey, man, we're all about to die, so let's just be nice to each other.
Yeah, at that point, you would only be looting for the thrill of stealing something because you're not going to be able to utilize it.
Well, even then, I was like, why even pay cash?
Yeah.
Like, why not just, we don't have any use for it after tomorrow. Like, yeah, you give me the money. Shit. It doesn't matter. Just drink everything. Let's use all the resources of Earth because we have no use of it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. We get I don't know. Do we want to talk about like what happens? I guess we always just kind of talk about what happens.
Because we got another issue, and so we can kind of talk about it. We'll try to skirt it as much as possible. Essentially, Reed says he's going to be the herald.
Yeah, he backtracks on what he had said earlier.
But it's a red herring because he has a plan, which is kind of smart because he's like, give me a day with my family.
Yeah.
Which they did so much like him wanting to be with his family that it's kind of like, oh, maybe he's not planning anything. Maybe he just really wants to be with his family.
Yeah.
One thing, go ahead.
I was going to say, this is the moment where they switched artists, which was kind of like a, ugh.
Yeah. Right before that, though, we get a super fucked up Galactus moment, which I appreciate that there's no like human aspect to Galactus besides like him having a human mouth.
Right.
He's talking to Silver Surfer and he's like, hey man, you're good, your new herald's gonna be here, thinking he's about to just chill and live the rest of his days out. Galactus is like, yo, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for everything you've done. You've been a great herald. I'll give you one final gift. And I'm like, damn, this is cool. They're having like a bro moment. And then he just takes the power cosmic from him and just leaves him to die in outer space.
To suffocate. Yeah, there's no reward for service, but it's end. And I was like, damn, that sucks.
Damn. Yeah, and it's like inhumane. And you got to think, he's not a human. So, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
We switched the artist. Didn't like it. Not that this artist is bad. It's just different.
Yeah. And we end on a pretty sour note. And so basically, Reed, not to spoil, I don't want to spoil anything that actually happens, but Reed Richards is like brain dead.
And I'm not going to spoil it either. I thought it was very silly comic book stuff that they do everything that they do and they have like a thing punching Galactus moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like for what other than just like,
just kick just him down. Yeah.
He's like punching a dead body. Spoiler alert.
Well, that's, spoiler
alert. Well, I mean, that whole, like, the action of it, we get it. If Reed's still alive and comatose, we get that they saved the day, but.
And I kind of thought about that. I was like, so is he just, there's just this body, this giant celestial body floating around in space.
It happens.
And I'm going to have a hot take for anybody that's listening. Yeah. So there's like, a lot there. Reed Richards has been narrating this entire time. So we get another where it's like it's like American Beauty moment where he's narrating past the point of, you know, you think that he's brain dead. The hot take that I have for this is that there should be no issue number 6.
I thought I thought, what's his name, was narrating this one? Franklin.
Maybe it is Franklin. I thought it was Reed just because at the very end he's talking about looking up at the sky and Reed.
Well, in the beginning, in the first page, he says, "My dad wasn't really there for me. He was always looking at the stars, and he told me there was something beyond." And it was like this, and that was like a callback to that first page.
All right, well, forget it then. Anyway,
no, I agree though. Like, what an ending!
It would have been pretty good. I feel like they could have added a little bit, but this, in my opinion, of course, there's some other things they would have had to change all the way through. But
yeah,
in my opinion, there should not have been an issue 6.
I agree. Not that I don't like issue 6. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
So what they did with Spider-Man Life Stories recently, they came out with an annual. It was like a Spider-Man Life Story annual. It was 5-year anniversary or whatever since the popular. That this would have been a good annual, like tack on a year later as like a one-shot add-on. But I think it would have been fine. I didn't not like issue 6.
I did not like issue 6, but we'll get into that if you want to.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Issue number 6.
I actually think it's me.
It is your turn.
Yeah. Fantastic Four Life Story number 6. The fateful finale of the Fabulous Foursome's lives across 6 decades. With the Doombots in place, Dr. Doom begins his conquest of Earth. When the world has no answer for Doom's might, the aging heroes join forces with the next generation. But will it be enough to stop him? So, jumping right into it, like, everybody's kind of retiring. The big threat's gone. Fantastic Four retired, you know. But we're also seeing other heroes in their retirement, like Captain America, Steve Rogers, and some others. And
Reed is narrating this one.
Yeah.
From his vegetable body.
So I do like, you know, we see some of the younger heroes. So we're seeing Ironheart. We're seeing Spider-Man, Miles Morales. Yeah. I'm only saying that for distinction.
Yeah. He's the Spider-Man in this, though, because Pete is old as hell.
Captain Marvel. You know, I like seeing all that. I think it's kind of funny that there's not like this huge pantheon of heroes, though. There's always just a few, even when they were, you know, but we're seeing all these Doombots. Like, Doom is going around and he's doing the Hitler thing. Like, he's taking over all these surrounding countries and his territory is getting wider and wider. As soon as we see Klaue, I knew what was going on. Of course, it's explained like 2 panels later, but I was like, oh, fuck. They're having trouble killing these Doombots. Well, there's a reason for that.
A little bit of vibranium, dog.
Yeah. And, you know, I find it interesting that Sue goes to talk to some older heroes. And she's like, hey, man, the only way we're going to stop this is if we all band together. And Steve's like,
Cap's chilling.
I just offered you carrot juice. Like, I don't know what you think this is.
I do love that they've gone through every era of Fantastic Four suits. And in this one, they use Future Foundation because when Johnny died in the 616, they were so distraught by it that the Fantastic Four does not exist without Johnny Storm. So they created the Future Foundation and they got Spider-Man to join to sort of take the spot of Johnny because it was his best friend. And I love those suits. Like, I wish they would have stayed the Future Foundation because it's so good.
I really love the Future Foundation suits too.
So I love that they added that in this. Like, they're older, so Future Foundation makes sense. And for me, it's like, damn, comic books could work like this. Like, if you don't do it in 5 issues, like if you do it like throughout time. So like through the 60s and the 70s, like if you just continue to age these characters, it could work.
Yeah, and you just replace them with the younger versions.
Yeah. It could really work, man. There's no need to keep them as young as they are.
Yeah, it was cool to see. And I mean, even because they can still, it proves right here. So we start seeing these heroes pop up that are older. We see Tony in the Bleeding Edge armor, which is cool. Perfect. But again, you know, doesn't matter. He's old, whatever.
He's old, still Iron Man.
Iron Man armor is doing the same shit it was doing when he was young.
Yeah.
You know, Thing is still kicking around. He's probably like 100 years old, whatever.
I like that they, and a lot of the things that we talk about, they mention. So the writer is very in tune with the questions that will possibly be raised. Miles asks thing later on. He's like, hey, man, can you even die? And Ben's like, I don't know, but I really did not want to find out.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's some fun. I do like. So Franklin's been trying a really long time to like wake up his dad's consciousness
with his tiara.
Yeah, with his fancy tiara. So while he's doing that, Reed is kind of having like this weird inner, like he's trapped within his own mind. He sees Johnny Storm as like a figment of that. And Johnny Storm keeps saying, he's like, I'm a figment of your imagination, man. Yeah. I don't know why I'm here either.
Yeah. He's like, why are you here? And he's like, you tell me. I don't know.
Yeah. I really like that. Cap saving the day. Old ass Cap saving the day was cool.
It looks great. I feel like this was just like a tie up loose ends issue. And again, I feel like a few years later as an annual, like a companion to the main story, this would be perfect.
Well, and I think, yeah. I agree. I think really a lot of it has to do with Dr. Doom. If Dr. Doom hadn't been introduced or it was a one note thing, like they took him out, he's been in prison, and that's kind of funny because in the 616, like he's like this big bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been funnier if it was like he's this big bad guy that gets taken out by Sue Storm and then he's just in prison. Yeah.
But then you also had like the obsession with the Mad Thinker's head that never left the story.
Yeah.
But then it kind of like they never talked about it again in issue 5. And so they kind of wrap that up here because they're in issue 3 or 4. He creates another head. And yeah. Franklin's like, it's just a bald version of himself. And but then they never really talk about it again. So I feel like in this,
they kind of wraps that up. It. Yeah. I that's why it's there now. But they could have left that out.
Yeah,
in my opinion, they could have, if they would just drop that, they would have just dropped a lot of the Doom stuff. They could have wrapped this up in 5 issues,
or this could have just been like an epilogue. Like it could have been like Vegetable Reed, the end, and then a few more pages epilogue, because all it is, this whole issue is to for the head to give his final thoughts to his family. Spoiler alert. He's basically like Tony. Remember Tony in Endgame, where he has the AI where he leaves a message for everybody. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional. Great. Those last 3 pages are freaking perfect, but that could have been the epilogue.
Yes.
Like you could have kept those last 3 pages and did the. Was it cool to see old S Cap? Yes. Was it cool to see Miles and Captain Marvel and Ironheart? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, sure.
But the last 3 pages, insert them into the end of issue 5, it would work just the same.
Yeah. And there's really not that much. There's this, you know, basically they're winning against the Doom bots and Doom just decides he's going to do an all out assault once he's beaten on
like Major Robot City. From Invincible. I don't know if you got that far in Invincible. We got to read Invincible. That should have been thick cut this year.
I kind of remember a little bit, but he... Yeah, he basically sends his Doombots out to like major cities, like Independence Day. He's going to blow up major cities. And then they need a shutoff code to stop that from happening. And the Mad Thinker just pops out of one of Doombots like an Iron Man armor, like, oh, I've been here the whole time. Like, I don't know what that was about.
And he turns heel. He's like, you could save the day.
Yeah. Yeah, because Doom blows up the Mad Thinker that's been making all the Doombots and finds out it's an android again.
Yeah. What a twist.
Yeah, what a twist. So I don't know. I mean, it just kind of ends. He has all this, but even Reed, you know, he gets through to Reed. Reed, like, uses his powers one more time to grab this disembodied, like, robot head of him. But then he's comatose again.
Why not? Yeah, why not bring him back at this point? If you're going to do that, why not just bring him back?
Yeah, I didn't really agree with that.
Yeah. I thought that he was like, yo, I'm alive. I'm this head now. Like I am Reed. I thought that was going to be like, oh, well, he just transferred his consciousness into this robot head.
That could have been interesting.
But that's what I thought they were going to do. But then it was just like said all these like super meaningful things. And he was like powering down. I only had just enough energy to, to say
oil can.
And then it was just a vegetable.
Yeah. And I mean, as far as life stories go,
yeah.
This one ended, you know, on a kind of a higher note.
It's maybe she can like sad, Play-Doh. But... Maybe she can Play-Doh as business.
Yeah, just she puts in ice water so it's firm and then.
Yeah, we automatically think of the gross stuff, but maybe she doesn't need that anymore. They're part of her life.
Yeah, she can just put a portal around it.
Like or maybe she's just like, she's still mad at him, so she's just banging Namor in front of his comatose body.
A coma cuck.
Oh, yeah. That's it, guys. That's a Fantastic Four life story. Before we break down the review, before we wrap things up, I'm going to tell you right now, I liked it more than Spider-Man Life Story.
Oh, yeah. It's so much better. Yeah, it's so much better. And I think it's because the Fantastic Four, I know that Pete goes through a lot of hard times. And I think it's the way they aged Pete, honestly.
I think the problem with Spider-Man Life Story is that they took one of the, I love it, I do, but they took one of the most convoluted and hated stories of Spider-Man's life and made it the focal point of it.
Yeah.
Like the clone saga and like him being Ben and then his kids maybe being cloned. It was like a weird, I don't know why they put so much emphasis on it.
Not only that, but the end part, and I barely remember that now. I just remember hating it. But the end parts with Kraven and then there's like a Kraven symbiote and then
Yeah. And then Miles, he goes to outer space like with Miles. And then, and Dr. Octavius changes minds with Miles. It's just like, they're adding too much stuff, man.
Yeah, it was stupid. It was a super bad idea. But this, I don't know, man. I dug it because it made this, all the choices made sense, again, except for this last issue. I was not a fan of the last issue. Yeah. I know that they were just kind of clean up, but I just didn't like it. So all the choices made sense for the first family of, you know, Marvel.
Think about it. They could have did the same thing that Spider-Man Life Story did. They could have added in the Annihilation War. They could have added in like all these heavy Fantastic Four stories, but they didn't. They just kept it with like the main story. Spider-Man Life Story could have been like Spider-Man being a teenager, growing up, Gwen Stacy dying, him meeting Mary. Like, it could have just been like the main stuff. It didn't have to be the clone saga. Ignore that shit.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I know that we've spent a lot of time ranting on the differences, but yeah. I don't know. I just really like this one more. And I think it's because I have the secret love, not so secret love for the Fantastic Four. And kind of like their dysfunction and function, you know?
And this is kind of the era that you like them, like starting out, you like them. We talked about it before. You want them to be like a 60s family.
Well, yeah. And they exist like that through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like even in the 2000s, like they are the same.
That's why I think it works. Again, I don't like to talk about MCU stuff, but I think it works if you just transplant them from the 60s where they get their powers into the future.
I will say that if they bring the Fantastic Four, and I don't really want them to bring in Galactus because then they're just going to kill off Galactus and he'll never exist again.
Yeah, but I mean, Galactus dies and comes back all the time.
Well, yeah, but the MCU is not really, it's kind of a permanent thing.
Yeah, unless you're Ultron, you can come back on the Disney cruise, dog.
Yeah.
Galactus coming back on the Disney cruise.
The fucking Lizard King. Yeah, man, overall, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, what'd you think about the art, man?
1 through 4, 1 through 5, most of 5 are great.
Most of 5, yeah.
But number 6 is a completely different artist.
Completely different, yeah. Wasn't bad, but it just... when you're enjoying something and then they completely change it, it's just... I don't think it adds to like... Or I think it adds to you being like, I don't really care for issue 6 because it's completely different. Didn't need the story, completely different artist. Like, it's just...
Yeah, it sticks out like sore thumb.
Yeah. I am a huge Mark Bagley fan, and I hate to keep comparing the two. He's my favorite Spider-Man artist. But I enjoyed this art more than that book.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because that one had some real low points.
Wonky. Wonky is the best way I could describe it. I love the art in this. Like you said, and I loved it so much that it was jarring whenever they changed it. It wasn't subtle. It was like, ugh, what? At the climax, you're changing the artist?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Issue six seems like an afterthought for sure.
Yeah, it seems like, oh, you want me to do one more? Yeah, we need to finish off. He's like, oh, I didn't want to do that, but okay. I guess we could put Captain Marvel in. She doesn't age, right?
Yeah. The only things I really have complaints about are the inclusion of how Dr. Doom was included throughout. Like, some of the things they're trying to push, they could have just done Galactus as the overarching theme and, like, the main problem that they have to deal with. But then they were like, well, what about Dr. Doom? And what about the Mad Thinker? We need to have these in there, too.
Well, I think Dr. Doom definitely needed to be included in a Fantastic Four life story. I think but I didn't even think about it until you mentioned it. Yeah, make him, that's it. He's locked up by the UN. They stop it. Dr. Doom isn't this huge menace to society. They nip that in the bud.
It could have been even interesting if they went with what he says, where he becomes the Herald and they have to deal with that problem.
Well,
I would have been more interested.
I thought it was weird. I thought it was weird that Silver Surfer didn't even bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought that if he would have been like, hey, man, he shows up and he's like, listen, you can either be the Herald or this is what we're going to do. And then Reed's like, well, obviously I have to be the Herald.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But they didn't even acknowledge that again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's there's some drops moments.
Yeah. Especially because Silver Surfer was like, ooh,
yeah,
that's a good idea. No one's ever brought original. That.
Yeah.
No one's ever brought this. And then he's just like, and then he flies off and he's like, that dude's fucking nuts. And he just never talks to him again.
Yeah, whoa.
That got dark real fast. Oh, I liked it, man. Let's grade this thing. Oh, where is my grading chart? It's been a while. I'm rusty.
For those
go first?
Do you want me to go?
Yeah.
I don't care. C4. I'm going to do easy. It's almost there. Well, you know what? No. I'm gonna change it. I'm going to go H4. Because it was good. Yeah. But then it went a little long.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Same thought process. I'm going to go I didn't hate the issue six.
I didn't hate it either, but I just didn't think it was necessary.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Same thought process. I'm going to go I3. Perfect toast, perfect toast, perfect toast. I get to the end. If I'm hungry, I'll chomp that. I'll chomp that quarter. I don't need it, though.
Yeah.
I don't need it. And you were mentioning people that may not know.
Oh, I was just going to say, you were saying you couldn't find your thing. We recorded last week. It hadn't been that long, but people don't know that.
We didn't grade last week, though, because it was a, I don't remember. I'm sure
you did. Oh, yeah, we kind of talked about it. Anyway, whatever. Yeah, man. So, to the surprise of myself and you, I'm sure, and everyone that's listening. Man. Yeah, this was not a bad book. I suggest picking it up, or at least reading it wherever you can.
And since I'm typically a troll on our social media accounts, this is going to be the perfect Fantastic Four life story is better than Spider-Man life story. Because I didn't really hear a lot of talk about Fantastic Four life story. But I still to this day hear a lot of talk about Spider-Man life story.
Yeah, there seems to be this weird thing against
good stories.
The Fantastic Four. What'd you say?
Is that good stories?
No.
Well, like, the thing about Spider-Man is the Marvel character. He's the flagship character. It doesn't matter if you like Wolverine or if you like whatever. He is the flagship character. And people read his books even if they hate the story. Like, right now, I've collected Spider-Man for the past 10 years. Every issue. Like, I hate the story that's going on right now. But I know at some point I'm going to like the story, and then I'm a completionist, so I'm like, I didn't get those 80 issues, in, which I don't recommend to anybody that's collecting. Like, if you don't like it, don't buy it. But I'm part of the problem. If you want to get your own Wednesday Pulitzer grading chart, you got to join our Discord, man. It's a lot of fun. Join it. It's in the FAQ section, and then you can follow along with our episodes. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
This was a little bit long-winded. We're trying to shake off the shake off the rust. I will edit it down, make it
appropriate. Well, that being said, with the pace of this story, it was hard not to talk about everything because we're, you know, there's several years in between pages, you know.
Yeah.
So it is kind of hard to knock it down, but
yeah, we didn't go panel by panel, but there's so much like in between stuff that doesn't even get talked about in the story that we kind of broke down.
Yeah, it's like the toe gunk. You know, it's in between.
Yeah, I didn't know what you were talking about, but then I got it. We're circling the drain. Where can the people find you, Simon? What you got going on?
Not a lot, man. You can find me at Sime_on_toast on Instagram. I got featured by Mesco. I didn't talk about that earlier. They reposted a picture that I took, which was kind of cool, on their main page.
That recognition, dog.
It got over 2,500 likes. So I was like, damn, dog. I will never see those numbers on my page, but it was cool to see it there. So that was fun. But anyway, yeah, you can follow my Instagram. I just do a bunch of toy photos. So if you're into that. Yeah.
Related to superheroes and like adjacent genres. It's not just like random stuff.
Not just weird sex dolls or anything like
that. Yeah, it's not like weird Care Bears or anything. It's related to the stuff we talk about.
Sex dolls, Care Bears, yes.
Oh, other than that, our social media is Wednesday Pool everywhere else. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, go to our YouTube. You can catch our training topics over there ahead of the game. And that's really it.
Yeah. So, welcome to 2023.
We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.